Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm Penance, and sometimes I can be a real witch.
I'm Alina. The rest is need to know.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Volume 16, Where There's Smoke, Issue 1, Look Before You Leap. The cover is sky blue with hints of clouds. From the bottom of the page, a flaming claw hand grabs at the ankle of a plummeting metal hero. Alina tumbles behind him, reaching out a hand to grab his. Not far behind them, Sage follows, trailing a loose length of fire hose behind her. Down in the corner is a special glossy sticker of the Falcon logo wreathed in flames. Embossed letters proclaim, "This is part of the Falcon Down event."
Last we left our heroes, Arcana was riding the steel-muscled, appointed hero, Guild, off a building while he was attached to Miss DeVillis by a fire whip. And she's like the demon legacy of Dr. DeVillis. Now, at the same time, Sage is inside the building, and up there as well is Arc Flash, who is Guild's, I guess, partner in this attempt to stop Miss DeVillis. She is also a member of the Appointed, and she shoots electricity. She doesn't shoot electricity now, because what instead she's doing at this moment is running over to the window and screaming out, "Guild, no!" And then turning to Sage and saying, "With the integrity damage he's taken from the fire and the fall from before, he might not make it."
How many floors up are we?
A lot. How many floors up are
Give me a range. Like 5? Like 10?
I was thinking probably like 15,
yeah,
20?
That's what I thought.
My thinking was that we were up in a building.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that wasn't against your interpretation.
It wasn't against mine.
Okay.
So, I need to assess the situation.
Yeah, so you're standing up looking out the window?
I'm not near the window.
Okay.
As soon as she went out, I'm going to assess the situation. I need to plan quick.
Okay.
That is a 10 plus.
Okay. Superior.
11, that's an 11.
Nice, so you get to ask two.
Okay, what here can I use to save Alina?
Hey, you know, if you had a whole bunch of magic...
Yeah,
that'd be real easy.
She already feels pretty inadequate, so thank you, GM.
You're welcome.
Is there any like rope that I could throw out the window? Is there anything I could use to jump out the window and protect myself from, like...
I'll be honest, I'm stretching my mind, and like...
Is there a power cable around, like a long cable or any kind of...
You know what? Let's go straight diehard.
Yeah.
There is a hose.
Yep.
That's like, you'll have to climb out onto the ledge on the side of the building.
Mm-hmm.
Because the hose is actually on the floor above. But you see like the end of the nozzle hanging down.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of like the thick fire hoses.
Okay.
So you'll have to go out, you'll have to leave the window and stand on the ledge of the building to reach up and grab it. But it's up there.
Okay. That's the only question I need. So as soon as...
You can also hold on to your second question and ask it later
if you need to. Sure. As soon as I see Alina's body going in the direction of out the window,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to run and grab the hose and jump as I tie it around myself. And jump and try to make myself as aerodynamic as possible and try to catch up to her and grab her.
Okay.
That's all I got.
So here's the deal. That's a lot.
I know.
And I think even standing on the edge of this building, because you're going to be standing on like a little ledge just to reach up and grab the thing.
Yeah, I was just going to try to
act with desperation
jump.
First.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Like even to get the rope,
So I got a 6 plus a 3. I got 9.
Great. This is Act of Desperation, so it's different.
Yeah.
What does that one say for a 7 to 9?
You manage it, but just barely. Mark a condition, or it's unstable or temporary. I'm going to mark it a condition and do afraid, because this is terrifying.
Cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, so we get the panel that shows you, like, coming to the window, putting your foot on the ledge, and just, like, jumping and grabbing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're even, like, you said you wanted to try to tie it around yourself.
Yeah.
I think as you're falling,
yeah,
you're tying it around yourself.
That's correct. Absolutely.
Yeah. And, like, it shows you, like, tumbling and falling, and, like, we get a zoom in on, like, one of your sleeves is pulled back a little bit, and so we can see, like, some of your forearm, and just seeing, like, the strain on that as you're trying to, like, tie yourself up quickly.
I did also choose that I am surprisingly sturdy.
I know. I mean, 20 stories is beyond surprisingly sturdy.
I know. I just started with 15. Let's not 15 over-exaggerate.
I'm just saying, like, in terms of, like, I don't have super strength anymore, but I can probably hold my friend if I can get a hold of her.
Yeah, I was trying to give that, line there.
Good, cool.
But you're not the only one falling. Arcana. So you're falling.
Mm-hmm.
You are on Guild's back.
Mm-hmm.
And he's screaming at you, but you can't hear what he's saying because he's falling. Miss DeVillis is like trying to climb the whip, but now is not trying to do that. So she just reaches out and like slams her claws into the side of the building and is trying to slow her descent. It's not working. She's just leaving furrowed, melted lines in the side of the building. And if you land on him at full speed, yes, we could say he would cushion your fall. Steel's not a great cushion.
So, can she see me coming after her?
Now, see, here's the thing. The plan was...
What happened was...
to get a police car underneath the three of them.
Yeah.
To cushion.
Right, that
fall.
Might cushion a little bit. Yeah.
Now... Instead of having to keep three people alive, I think I need to keep four people alive.
Well, she is tied to the hose, so as long as nothing goes wrong. I did say we're going to do the full Die Hard where the hose falls off the building.
Right now, it feels like it's secured to something.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to have to try to do this one thing at a time.
Okay.
And that is I'm going to, instead of trying to use brute force to drag a cop car underneath us. I've been working with Adler on dexterity with my telekinesis.
Yeah.
So basically, I'm just taking one of the cop cars that is already running and pushing the gas pedal, putting it in drive and driving it over underneath.
Nice. Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
Oh, shit.
And make it count.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I'm so tense.
So that is a... 8, so that was 9.
Fantastic. Okay, so mark a condition, or I'll tell you how it's unstable or temporary.
I don't want it to be unstable or temporary.
I don't know why neither of you have been choosing that.
Because right now our lives are in unstable condition, so like...
Or temporary.
Or temporary. Brandon!
All right, so
I thought the or temporary was very funny.
It is very funny.
All right.
I'm trying to think of a way to get that on a t-shirt.
All right, so I am afraid.
Okay.
That's both of us.
Oh, no.
Okay, so you are swan diving now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, you did the thing. We see the police car kind of vroom for a minute, and then it pulls up next to the guy who's still on the phone with his daughter and going like yeah, no, she was really nice. It was a pretty nice little meeting. Ran off real quick, and then it just kind of like mounts the curb and moves up and kind of like parallel parks into position. You're kind of looking over Guild's shoulder to line it up properly. And he is like, his face is turned to you. You're like a couple of inches apart from each other. And he's screaming this huge blank voice bubble because you can't hear him because of the rushing air.
Mm-hmm.
Sage.
Yeah.
So you're falling.
Yeah.
And you're trying to dive faster.
Correct.
And because this is a comic book, we are allowing that. Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you.
Of course.
I was counting on you.
And so what do you do?
Am I able to catch up to her?
Tell me what you try to do. Tell me what you do.
I am literally trying to swan dive, grab Alina, and then I'm going to hold on to the hose that I'm connected to and basically brace for impact and hold on to it. So hopefully it lessens the, like if I do hit the ground, that I have something to hold up my weight on. And if not, hopefully we don't hit the ground.
Roll to defend.
6+, that's a 9.
All right, cool. So on a 7 to 9, it costs you expose yourself to danger or escalate the situation. So which would you like to do?
Neither. Can she help me defend her?
It's at a 9?
Yeah.
She could spend team to do that.
So at the moment where I have finally put the parking brake on to the cop car so it doesn't roll away, mm-hmm. you know.
So responsible.
I look behind me and I see that Penance has dove after me.
We get a panel that shows her just like with arms outreached, like she's going to catch you.
Yeah.
And then just like hugging around your upper body and like her head next to yours.
Okay. So then I am going to,
if you can help cushion us.
Yeah.
Yes. You could potentially try to slow your fall.
Yeah. The hose is kind of. Yanked me back a little bit, and I now sort of try to push off the building with my powers and try to get us to land on the grass so we can roll.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right.
Counterforce.
So that does bring you to a 10, which means you no longer need to expose yourself to danger or escalate the situation.
Thank you.
Would you like to add a team to the pool, take influence over someone you protect, or clear a condition?
I'll clear a condition.
Okay.
So I'm going to grab her, and then there's this big force that all of a sudden pushes us in an illogical direction from falling.
Yeah.
But that counterforce also slows down the momentum we had been building. And we're now headed towards a patch of grass. And I'm just going to like hold on to her in a way that leaves it so hopefully we can barrel roll when we hit the ground.
Okay.
And it's not like all legs and elbows.
Yeah. And so we get two sets of panels kind of falling down the page that starts when you separate from Guild and Miss DeVillis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually really similar movements and gestures from Sage and Guild, but the expressions are wildly different because you're protecting your friend and Guild is just trying to not let Miss DeVillis die as she's like clawing at his face and shooting fire at him. And so like both of you kind of wrap the other. You land at an angle, moving, having slowed yourself down, using the thing to roll on the grass. And that hurt like crazy. That was very painful.
Mm-hmm.
You will.
That's fair.
You're going to have.
Blow.
You're going to have. Oh, you know what? That's actually probably fair. Go ahead and both of you roll to take a powerful
blow. I thought that's what you were saying. I didn't want to, but that makes sense.
I was more or less saying you should go to a nurse. You should go to a doctor because you probably have a busted rib. But powerful blow might work just as well, if not better.
Oh.
Okay, so plus conditions marked.
1-0.
All right, so Arcana, what have you got?
I've got a 6.
Cool. So you weather the blow,
mm-hmm.
and go ahead and mark a potential. And how many conditions do you have marked?
I have zero.
Zero? And you rolled a?
10.
Oh, okay. So you can remove yourself from the situation, flee, mm-hmm. pass out, etc., lose control of yourself or your powers in a terrible way, or two options from the 7 to 9 list.
I'm going to choose to lose control of my powers in a terrible way.
Okay, sounds good. So we get the two panels next to each other falling down, and we see Guild and Davilus hit the cop car at full speed and just destroy it. Like they this car is totaled. And we get like a little like wee 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 starting up, and the two of them are they're not moving right now. We get Arcana and Sage landing and rolling, and the two of them are kind of like held together for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Both of their eyes are closed. Arcana's eyes open first. We see her taking in her first breath after landing, maybe after having fallen for a lot of that, and breathes it out. And Sage isn't moving.
There are several expletives that come out of her mouth.
Okay.
And after that, I am frantically checking for a pulse and just saying, you know, Sage, no. Sage, talk to me. You're not allowed to do this.
And we get the panel that shows you, like, holding on to her, like shaking her, whatever you're doing. Mm-hmm. And then her eyes open and they're black with red lines of code and text across them. There is a kind of sizzle in the air and you feel your cell phone in your pocket and any other electronics you have, I think including your earpiece, suddenly start to just burn up hot. And the same is going for you, but you're not feeling much right now. There's arcing bursts of like red lines coming off of her that lifts her body up into the air. And these arcs blast out, shooting into the cars nearby, blasting into some of the buildings nearby. And there's just chunks of rubble and glass shattering everywhere. And what do you do, Arcana?
Right. So do I know about the hex worm? Or do, like, how detailed of an explanation is, like, I lost my powers?
Well, this is also super new. We haven't seen this with anything with the hex worm.
This only happened in an end scene that was very private in Sage's room. So
and
she,
that only showed the code in your eyes. It didn't show anything beyond that.
Oh, no, there was stuff levitating.
Oh, there's stuff levitating. You're right. Absolutely.
Do you know that happened to you? Or you just are missing time?
She had gone to sleep.
Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah.
All right. So now I know something that you don't know.
Great. Can't wait for that conversation.
So she's levitating.
She's levitating.
She's got
just a little
eyes.
Bit off the ground. Her eyes are jet black with code, like lines of red code across them,
mm-hmm.
and kind of like arcing. It looks like almost like electricity,
mm-hmm.
but if you like concentrate on it, you can see that it is actually additional lines of code that are like just bursting off her, like ripping through reality.
Can I be reading the files?
Yes, you can read you can roll to read the files.
All right, so
to have read the files.
I have read the files.
Yeah.
So I'm going to
roll plus superior, I believe.
Yeah. 6, 7.
Mm-hmm. So here's what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know that she interacted with the hex worm.
Mm-hmm.
And you know quite a bit about that, because needless to say, after you tussled with it, you were like, oh, I should read up a little bit on that more, make sure I'm fully aware, even though, like, you know, it was defeated.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get some information on it. And this is a relatively new coded phenomena, but you were able to see on a lot of different security cameras manifestations of the hex worm.
Okay.
And what you had seen exclusively existed within technology,
mm-hmm.
and was robotically working within the world. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's not like a microwave lifting into the air and hurling itself at somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's like machinery turning on, and like more like a car running someone over.
mm-hmm.
than like a car lifting itself into the air to fall on somebody.
It doesn't defy the laws of physics. It
exactly.
It defies the laws of it defies the coding.
Yeah. That said, that coming out of a person is not normal hex worm
behavior.
Stuff. So yeah, so you can make something up.
Okay.
And then I believe I'll tell you what, if anything, is different.
Okay. What I know about the hex worm is it has, or from what I understood, it has never crossed over into human beings, mm-hmm. which is very scary. But it only tends to operate when the machines that it has taken over are off.
Okay.
So maybe by turning Sage back on.
Okay.
Perfect.
She can perhaps
take over the mainframe.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So like because she is in an idle state of being mm-hmm. unconscious, mm-hmm. the hexworm has much more power.
Yes.
Cool. Yeah. And I can tell you something different or no.
Yeah, you can. If
I don't have to.
You don't have to. No.
Okay.
It's just if I make up something that is like
yeah.
ruin something.
No, and I think we've kind of already touched on what is different. It is in a human. It is mm-hmm. doing things that break reality in ways mm-hmm. that it normally does not. But yeah, that checks out.
Okay.
So what do you do?
So I am no time to be delicate. I'm also going to tackle her again.
Okay.
Cushioning her head this time.
Okay.
And I'm going to say, all right, I need you to wake up now. Wake up now. And I start lightly hitting her cheeks and then kind of flinching every time I do it. Yeah.
So you jump onto her
mm-hmm.
and start to kind of like try to wake her up.
Mm-hmm.
And a blast of that red code.
Mm-hmm.
Hits you in the chest and hurls you off of her body. Like it just like flings you back. What do you do?
Okay.
I mean like, so what I'm basically saying is you can go like, you know what this might be? It might be that you need to fight against the code a little bit
mm-hmm.
and kind of directly engage a threat
mm-hmm.
to take something from them.
Okay.
And like get your consciousness back. Does okay. that make sense?
I mean, it's not really a defend, right?
I feel like it's not a defend.
It's a threat. Oh,
defend
but...
is kind of fun too because of the options on it.
I'll give you either option. I think you either need to directly engage a threat mm-hmm. in order to brute force wake her brain up,
mm-hmm.
probably using some of your psychic things, or you need, because I think this is something that's more or less going to have to be done psychically, right?
Yeah.
Like this is either you need to beat it back,
mm-hmm.
directly engage in a threat, or you need to like slide your brain between the hex worm and her to give her body an opportunity to wake itself up.
Okay.
Which I think would be defend.
I think I'm going to defend.
Okay. Go ahead and roll plus savior.
5.
Okay. Okay. So you like... extend your mind to her and start to just build a wall. And we get now at this point, like an astral plane kind of in your brain thing. And we see, this is in your brain.
Oh yeah.
So what does it look like in your brain where this battle is going to go down?
So whenever the hexworm is awake and functioning in my brain.
Yeah.
He creates like a crystal sort of, I liken it to that, the level in Super Smash Brothers where the hand comes out and whacks you. It's got like
Final Destination.
Yeah. It's got like nothing around, but, I'm stuck there and it's like a lot of darkness. So you see Sage, like I'm curled up, like passed out in mm-hmm. the corner and the hexworm is in the opposite, on the opposite end, building strength.
Yeah.
So it's just a lot of darkness and like jagged crystals, and it looks like we're on two opposite ends of an arena.
Yeah. And so it has this, there is kind of this crystal shell around everything. and the hex worm's tail is burst through the outside of the crystals, and that's how it's like it's interacting with the world right now. And so, Arcana, as you come into existence in Sage's mind, you are between her and the hex worm. You've been working with Adler. You've been working in projected space. Mm-hmm. This is all old hat for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking up at just this enormous snake-like creature. Hey, this is all very recognizable. That is made from just lines of red text, essentially. It's kind of mm-hmm. like the shape of a monstrous, like worm mythical beast, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can see through the area just where its tail is piercing the shell outward, you can see how it's still interacting with the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you see yourself slowly falling down from where you were standing.
Mm-hmm.
Because your consciousness is deeper in Sage's consciousness than you want it. Your body is vulnerable, and the hexworm is having an effect on the world. You see it like an arm of its code lift up a cop car and just hurl it down the street, and people are trying to figure out what to do about this whole thing. But everything seems to be going in kind of like a slow motion.
Now, can I ask?
Yes.
Do the people in the real world know that it is coming from Sage?
Yes.
It's her body doing it.
Sage levitating in mm-hmm. the air, slowly rising up higher with bursts of this red, like, electric look coming off of her.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, we now get a scene outside in the real world where Arc Flash is just sprinting down the stairs and going like, come on, come on, and come on, push faster. And you see like there's electricity coming off of her, but she is not a speedster. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, she is running and she kind of trips and like just falls down a couple of stairs and picks herself back up. And she's trying to get down there to help. We see Guild starting to like open his eyes for a minute. And Miss DeVillis' eyes open also, and they're like just face to face in this shattered cop car, and her head leans back, and he breathes out like a sigh, just that she isn't dead, and just like puts his head down next to hers, and they just are lying there alive, but very clearly pretty broken. And we're back inside Sage's head.
Okay, so first I gotta locate my target.
Your target's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
There's this, so basically where you are, Sage is behind you. Mm-hmm. She's curled up. She's kind of asleep in this world as well, but kind of mm-hmm. stirring fitfully. Mm-hmm. And the hexworm is just like moving its body and going, intrusion upon the mind detected. Destroying the intrusion. And we have the little commenter box. Hexworm, really bad news. Might eat Arcana now.
Lives inside Penis's head.
Lives inside Penis's head. So, at this point, you're also going to wake up. In your mind.
Yeah.
Not in your body.
Right.
So, you are in that same space, and you see Arcana standing in front of you, and the hexworm is just so much bigger than her. It's huge. It's gotten bigger in this space. The space has gotten bigger to hold it, and the two of you are there.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Does my inner psyche still have magic?
I don't know.
How would we go about finding an answer to that? Do you want me to roll?
Let's come up with a move.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate.
In your mind, you can charge burn. That said, draw a little circle. Right here.
Okay.
Or wherever you'd like it, actually.
Okay, I'm going to do it right here.
Draw a line from the top of the circle to the bottom of the circle. Divide this one in half.
I'm making a clock.
And then divide this one into three.
That's a weird ass clock.
Yes. And here's how this is going to work. Each time you charge your burn in your mind, you're going to mark that clock.
Okay.
And when you hit, each time you put a thing into it,
mm-hmm.
something's going to happen. So mm-hmm. just to briefly explain clocks, you have two big sections, one from 12 to 3, one from 3 to 6. And then you have from, I guess, what would that be? 6 to
8.
6 to 8, 8 to 10, 10 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
The closer you get to 12, the closer you are to major, horrific, horrible, destructive, everything is very bad. Like, you do not want to get to 12.
Okay.
And the closer you get to it, the worse things are going to get.
So I should not charge my burn?
Not necessarily.
Okay. Is there any benefit to this clock?
The benefit to the clock is that you're able to charge your burn and use your powers in your own mind.
Uh-huh.
But each time you do it, you mark that clock.
Okay.
And things will change.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. I'm going to charge my burn then.
Fantastic. Go ahead and roll to charge your burn.
I didn't make it anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Plus conditions marked?
Oh, then yeah, I got a 6. I still didn't make it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So on
then
a
it doesn't
six,
count.
No. So on a 6 minus, what happens? Does it say?
On a miss, hold 2 burn and mark 3 conditions.
Okay.
So I have all conditions marked.
Okay.
But I have 2 burn.
Yes, you do. And you have access to your magic.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So
give me that panel. What does that look like?
So I'm going to stand up and I'm feeling a lot of feels. I am all conditions marked.
Yeah.
I am feeling more than I have felt in a long time. And in doing so, my magic energy starts to surround me in my own head, which triggers in my mind, like, I might be able to do something here. So I try to charge my burn,
mm-hmm.
but because I'm A, rusty, and B, I actually have struggled to have magic in the world. So, like, this is hard too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not able to fully harness it as cleanly as I ever could before, but I feel the magic running through me and I feel like I maybe could use it.
Yeah. And we get a similar visual effect to what you get when you have your regular burn,
mm-hmm.
but around the corners of it,
mm-hmm.
there's red.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's otherwise, at this point, it is fine where it is. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you've got those lines of red going through. And the hexworm looks down at you and goes, "No. No, that is impossible. It cannot be." And it starts to, like, rear back to charge towards you. What do you do?
It's your head.
I need to know what Alina is doing inside my head.
Well, I was trying to get you to wake up so we could.
You did good.
The fuck out of here.
Okay, I'm going to yell to Alina, "Get out. Run."
Yeah.
Like, out of my head, run.
No.
No?
Okay, roll to provoke.
I really need you to get out of my head. Okay, I got a 9 plus.
Plus superior.
Oh, plus unless superior. You, which
but
is
you
plus
will be
plus,
affected by the.
Right, so it's an 8.
An 8, okay. So you can choose, will you give her a team if she does it?
Mm-hmm.
Or if she doesn't do it, will she mark a condition?
I will give her a team if she does it. I don't want to hurt her.
Okay.
Okay.
What do you do?
Does she get to choose the condition that I mark?
No. So the way it works is on a 7 to 9, mm-hmm. she offers you one of those things.
I'm offering
she
you.
She either offers you a carrot or a stick. So if you do it, you add a team to the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Because she rolled a 7 to 9, she doesn't get the carrot and the stick. Does that make sense?
Yes. No, it makes total sense.
Yeah. So if you don't do it, nothing bad happens directly immediately. But we are fighting a giant, horrific thing in her head. So who knows?
How positive you are you in this solution?
Pretty positive, because I have my magic.
Okay. All right, I recognize that
my resolve face.
You can do this. And that I will be more of a distraction than an aid. So I guess I just flump back into my own body.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I was tempted to make you unleash your powers, but I think I'm not going to do that. I think it's, I don't think the hexworm is trying to keep you in there.
Yeah.
So unmolested, you're going to be able to get out without any issue.
Okay.
So we get a panel that shows Arcana there looking at Sage, and then she just and is gone. And you wake up and we get a panel that shows like the sky and some buildings, and there's like a bunch of shattered windows, and everything looks all busted up and destroyed. You look up and Sage is there floating in the air with electricity, with red electricity bursting off of her. At that point, Arc Flash also has gotten to the bottom of the stairs and is like run out onto the lawn and is just like leaning over, heaving for breath after having run up a bunch of stairs, fought Mr. Villas, and then run down a whole bunch of stairs.
He should have just jumped.
She would not have made it.
Sorry.
And so she like is panting and holding her chest and goes like, What do we do? What do we do?
All right. I can do something.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'm gonna need you to find your friend and bring him over here, stat.
Okay. Yeah. And she starts like,
all right, she's so like, I'm going to go over and okay, help yeah. her.
And so we get like the two of you trying to lift Guild out of the destroyed car.
Mm-hmm.
And it's slow going. This guy's heavy. But you've got psychic powers, actually.
Yes.
So you're able to like get him up, and we get a panel that shows the three of you, like the two of you holding him up. Mm-hmm. Mr. Villas is unconscious in the car. Mm-hmm. He's coming in and out of consciousness. Mm-hmm. Arc Flash is panting for breath, but is mm-hmm. conscious, which is great, because that's your one ally that is.
Mm-hmm.
And Sage.
I have my magic surrounding me, mm-hmm. as augmented as it is currently. Mm-hmm. And the panel is like that big darkness around, but I am squaring off against the opponent very yeah. securely. Like, it's like yeah. one end. In this corner, we have the...
ding, ding, ding.
Right, exactly. So I'm going to look him square in his weird little text face and say, oh, hey, remember me?
Battling inside of your mind is a terrible idea. You will destroy your structure. You will destroy your code.
False. I will destroy you, you nasty little sickening virus. Get the fuck out of my head. And I'm going to unleash my powers by using overcharge. And I am going to... create a magic canister
okay.
that I'm going to force around him. So my magic is hopefully going to shrink him
okay.
and contain him in a magic capsule in my nice. Brain.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, perfect. And so we get that scene that shows the hexworm like leaping towards you and then just your hands outstretched and using your magic
mm-hmm.
and just... pushing it in and squeezing it in and closing it down. And we get a panel that shows you kind of sealing the canister.
Mm-hmm.
What does the canister look like?
It looks like a pill. It okay, looks cool. like a literal pill, like
yeah.
because he is a virus and this is the antivirus. it's like a capsule that's going to close around him and yeah. seal around. And it's going to be like a hand-sized...
nice
thing inside my brain.
Yeah, so we have like a scene that shows you like kind of twisting the canister shut
mm-hmm.
and then your eyes open. Now, you had a minute to like get them up and get them over there. What was your plan?
My plan was to have Arc Flash sort of take electricity coming off of Sage
mm-hmm.
and sort of throwing it over to Guild and Guild acting as sort of a grounding rod
okay.
into the ground.
Good
so
plan.
Just drain the power from the hex worm. So hopefully that doesn't drain the power from Sage. It just
yeah.
makes it easier for her to battle.
Nice. You wake up and Guild has his arms around your thighs,
mm-hmm.
and you're kind of like practically like seated on his shoulder, and Arclight is in front of you with like her hands up and like a hand on his chest, mm-hmm. and like there's like insane electric energy going on for a minute,
mm-hmm.
and then your body stops being like levitated up, mm-hmm. and you kind of like fall to sitting on his shoulder.
Oh,
clank.
Hi. Sage is like weirdly into this dude.
And he's kind of like working his jaw. Like, you know, if you get like an electric shock that it like feels weird in your,
yeah,
in your jaw, he's kind of like working it and going like, oh, is it done? Mm.
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah. It's done. Hey, sweetheart. He's taken a few blows. Maybe we can.
Yeah. And I'm going to land, but like it's a 3-point stance out of necessity, not out of coolness. It's like I can't stand on both feet right now.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to look up and at Alina and be like, I think I killed him.
Oh, thank God. And then I am.
Because Sage thinks she did. Mm-hmm. I understand that may not be accurate.
And you barely finish saying him, and all of a sudden you're again off the ground, and I've just got you in sort of a vice grip, like, thank God. And like, are you okay? And then I put you down and go, oh my God, are you okay? Like, anything hurt? Are you fine?
I'm okay.
Before that,
oh boy,
I think you just celebrated a victory.
Yay! Which we haven't done in like ever.
Yeah, because we keep on having sad endings.
Yeah.
So here's how it works. Look on your character sheet.
Yes.
And under the drama moves, where you have the reveal a weakness, you know, that'll be a much more, obvious location that you might be more likely to know.
Okay.
There's celebrate a victory. And I think like a big happy hug qualifies for that.
Yeah.
And so I think definitely at this point, Arcana is,
mm-hmm.
if you are keeping yourself closed off, then you aren't. If you're like full on.
I was
happy, ecstatic
I'm
with
not
her.
Closed off to her ever.
Yeah, cool. I just wanted to check in and make sure.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's do first Arcanas, and then we'll do Sages.
Okay.
When you share a triumphant celebration with someone, ask them if you've been a good leader or an effective teammate. If they say yes, your mentor loses influence over you, and you mark potential. If they say no, your mentor gains influence over you, and you take +1 forward using the label your mentor embodies.
Okay. So this is something that kind of happens on a meta level.
She's squeezing me and then she pushes me back out like, oh my God, are you okay? And I'm just going to look at her dead in the face and say, you're my best friend. I don't know where I'd be without you, but I'm so glad you're here.
I am too.
So that definitely reads like a yes. So that means that the asset loses influence over you,
mm-hmm.
and you mark potential, right? Okay, fantastic. And so just write down somewhere that the asset doesn't have influence over you so we remember.
Okay.
And now we want to do Sages.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's yours?
When you share a triumphant celebration with someone, ask them if there's any fear in their eyes when they look at you. If they say no, take +1 forward and mark potential. If they say yes, immediately shift your danger up and savior down.
So we get a panel that, like, you've been, like, in a tight embrace.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Sage kind of, like, pushed you back a little bit. Like, probably mm-hmm. still in hug mode, but pushed mm-hmm. you back a little bit to look face-to-face to talk to you. And now do we see fear in your eyes as we think about what just happened? Like, the powers, the hex worm inside her, etc.
I think no.
Cool. All right. So what happens?
Take +1 forward and mark potential. So +1 forward is on whatever next action it
whatever
is.
Whatever your next roll is, you have a +1.
Okay. I have a question.
Okay.
Do I have any of my magic back?
What do you do? Are you trying to do magic right now?
No, but I can feel it when it's there and I can feel when it's not.
You do not feel it.
Okay. But there is definitely a hope in me that I had not had before,
yeah.
that it is not lost forever,
yeah.
that I can still get it back, and this is going to change how I move forward.
Yeah. And you don't feel the hex worm in the same way.
Right.
Like, there was, like,
he
you
buzzed.
Hadn't really noticed it before.
It was like a ringing in your ears. It's always sort of there.
Yeah.
But you can ignore it, and you get better at toning it out.
And now that it's gone, you're like aware of its being gone.
Absence, yeah.
Yeah. So the two of you have this wonderful embrace. We had a celebration on Protean City Comics. And it wasn't sad that we had it. So standing there kind of awkwardly with the two of you, our guild and Arcflash, and like, guild is trying very hard not to lean on Arcflash because she's about a foot and a half shorter than him and not made out of metal. But he's leaning.
Okay.
He's got a lot of like ash marks on him. But it looks like not deep furrows from claws or anything like that. Like it would be on a human. But they also are both, I mean, she is dressed like a member of the Appointed. He is half dressed, but what is there is like a member of the Appointed.
Can I walk up to him?
Yeah.
And I'm going to walk up to Guild and straighten out my shirt because my hoodie got lost somewhere in my act of desperation up there. And I'm just going to walk up to him and say, thank you. I'm sorry about putting you in an awkward situation. I was just trying to do what was best. I'm Sage, and thank you. And I'm going to extend my hand to him to like shake his hand as like, I really appreciate what you did.
Yeah.
I know that sucked.
And he kind of like, he's kind of working his shoulders a little bit. And we can see from the panel that part of his back is indeed like a little melted in. And so like his shoulder isn't quite fully able to pull back. And he goes, yeah, I mean, you know, we're here taking care of the problem and they'll hammer it on out of me, you know, get myself lined back up. He's, you know, putting on a little bit of bravado. And he holds out a hand and goes, Guild. And Arcflash steps forward towards Alina and goes, and I'm Arcflash. No, actually, you're the one who had electricity shooting off. And so Arcflash kind of pushes in a little bit. And she's like, I'm Arcflash. You've got electricity. I've got electricity too.
Yeah. Really great work. How's our target?
Guild looks over and goes, I don't think she's waking up in the next 5 minutes. But you know, from what Mr. Lee told us, she's sturdy. She'll be able to get back up. And so my guess is they get her under some guard. Did good work today.
That comment jogs my brain because I got distracted. Like, clearly I've been doing some stuff. And I got distracted by the fact that this hero saved me, helped save my friend, like, put himself in harm's way to do a good thing. But he's still a bad guy in my brain. And when he says Mr. Lee, I immediately, like, bristle and then get defensive of Alina.
Yeah, and I see you tense. And I place a hand on your shoulder. And I just say, thank you so much. Would you like to join us for a milkshake, or do you got to get back to a welder?
And he kind of like moves his shoulder a little bit, and there's this just awful like clang sound. And he goes, you know what? That actually feels a little better. I can raise the hand. Yeah, no, we could grab a milkshake.
Yeah, well, we know the best place in town.
Awesome.
And I'm going to click, my bike is going to come and pick me and Alina up and
follow us.
He goes over and like there's a really nondescript van. It's a black van that he goes ahead, opens it up and gets on inside. It doesn't have any... It doesn't even have license plates. It's like very much nondescript, sketchy van.
Okay. As I get onto the bike after penance, I whisper in her ear, I think I'm going to ask you for a favor.
And that's the last line on this page. As we turn to the next page, we have one of the classic comic book tropes of the room full of monitors. And Evan Lee is sitting in there at a table. He's got a chessboard set up, and he's sitting across from the man that we showed who had the little marbles, and there that he'd popped into his mouth, kind of like popped it. And so the two of them are looking at monitors while playing a game of chess. Evan Lee looks at the screen where he's got like a video feed showing the two appointed getting into their car to follow after you. And he goes, "Seems they're doing some pretty good work out there. I'm very happy. That was well-chosen powers for the couple of them." The guy across from him gives like a little kind of a shy sort of smile, and he kind of like rubs his forehead a little bit. He's a younger guy. He's in his mid-20s. He just says, "Well, I was just working with what we had. I think now that the advertisements are out, we're going to be able to kind of expand and really specialize." And Evan Lee gives like a smile and says, "And soon enough, we'll have everybody lining up to get exactly what their heart has always contained from the beginning." And he just raises hands up for a moment and points at a couple of the screens, and they start changing what's on them. And we're seeing shots all around the city where there are people lining up outside of little appointed setups. We see someone coming into one of like the little sign up, get your levels tested spaces. And she's short. She has this long black hair that covers her face, like in like movies like The Ring and stuff like that. You immediately recognize her. The reader would immediately recognize her as Reggie Mortis from The Miscreants. Aww. And she holds on to the paddles, and there's like ghosts and darkness swirling around her. And the person across from her says, "It seems you have a very powerful, powerful gift, and that's a wonderful thing. Can I ask why you came to us?" And she says, "I just want to be rid of it." And he smiles, and like he reaches out and takes her hands, which is something that shouldn't be super possible. And like as he takes her hand, her body starts to like convulse, and like she has like three heads coming off of it, and like there's like wailing sounds. But he just is like practically staring through her as he says, "Well then, you've come to the right place."
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. Arcana is played by Jess Benini, who can be found on Twitter at HerlockHolmes1. Penance is played by me, Elsbeth Dedman, and I can be found on Twitter at TheCatOnTheWall. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.